good, you're here. Just wrapping up 12 presents. Welcome to Life Lab Notes and our holiday series, The 12 Days of Christmas Regifted. We're taking the daily gifts listed in that famous carol and celebrating them in our own way. This is Day 7, Seven Swans A-Swimming by Alina Phelan Ballou and Phil Ward.
Just what I've always wanted.
Meet Susan P. Schmidt, the star of our play, a silver-haired senior who swam every day. How well, we do not know, but one thing is sure. She assumed that the pool was there only for her. If there were a class of kids learning a stroke, she was not amused, because this was no joke. She'd waggle a wet finger in a child's face, declaring, "You simply aren't giving me space! Crossing lanes willy-nilly and laughing out loud are things you should keep to a much younger crowd. I must have enough room to swim, tread, and splash. I am Susan P. Schmidt, and my pool you won't crash." And so this went on, day in and week out, her sense of entitlement never in doubt. The holiday season soon loomed up ahead, a season which always filled Susan with dread. How very discouraged, then, she had to be when she came to the pool one day only to see the deeper end occupied exclusively by the synchronized swimmers of Schenectady. This team, the Six Swans, which is how they were known, had up until now had a pool of their own, where each year for their annual show they'd rehearsed, but this year they moved, so this was a first. The locals all loved the Swans' holiday show, but Susan P. Schmidt just could not let it go. She railed, she spat, she stuck placards in lawns. "The pool is not theirs," they read. "Down with the Swans!" "This just will not do," she told all who approached. "I can't have the pool to myself. They've encroached." She organized sit-ins that none would attend. She took up great space in the pool's shallow end. She shot evil eyes as they spiraled and spun, but the Swans, despite Susan, kept on having fun. She wished them the bends, or at least swimmer's ear. But the Swans were well served by protective swim gear. She could not comprehend this, which is to say, Susan had rarely not gotten her way. Let us now spiral backwards down time's drain a bit to tell you some things about young Susie Schmidt. There she stands, as we land on a long-ago date, precocious and bright, let's say 7 or 8. To her mother and dad, there was no better daughter, except for one thing. She was frightened of water. Her upper-class dad felt a bit of a fool, as it hadn't been cheap to install the new pool. They begged her and bribed her and wheedled her, but she would not step foot in it, no matter what. They told her that mermaids awaited within. They bought her some floaties to take for a spin. They tossed in some prizes for her to retrieve, but she wouldn't do it. Instead, she'd just leave. Her parents gave up, which made Susie quite glad. Things went back to normal. It wasn't so bad. The trio went on, even prospered a bit, until tragedy struck the poor family Schmidt. Susie spent a long weekend with her Auntie Kate, while her parents went real estate shopping upstate. An ill-advised drive near an old railroad track curtailed their travels. They never came back. Susie was heartbroken, miserable, glum. And even worse, inside a week, she was numb. All feelings of any kind seemed to be gone. She was neither grieving nor apt to move on. Her Auntie Kate, at her wit's end, said, "My dear, perhaps you are stymied because you are here. Let's take a trip back to the house that you left and reclaim the feelings of which you are bereft." As she crept through her former home, nothing felt right. How deep were the shadows? How gray was the light? She fumbled her way to the sliding glass door that led to the pool she'd neglected before. And there, Susie saw what she never had seen. The sparkling blue water, the tinges of green, the sun on the surface, the shadows of trees. My goodness, she thought, how could I have missed these? She slid the door open, stepped onto the grass, walked up to the edge where she saw a young lass, reflected below her, all weary and gaunt. "I think," Susie murmured, "I know what I want." The water enveloped her, loosened her hair. Under the surface, as though in midair, she felt weightless and still. She felt calmness and light. She also felt nothing, and that felt all right. It seemed like the water had something to give, a way to go forward, to look back, to live. The water accepted her, sans fins and tail. With water supporting her, she could prevail. And then she remembered she had to inhale. Her feet found the bottom and gave it a push. Her face pierced the surface, and with a huge whoosh, she took a deep breath, a strong, jubilant one. From then on, her days of no swimming were done. So that was the moment for Susan P. Schmidt, when swimming, for which she had cared not a bit, became her salvation, her passion, her play. Let us spiral back upwards now, back to today. She sat in the shallow end, mad with frustration, so great her desire for the swan's ruination. When out of the deep end swam one single swan, and when she had nearly struck Susan head-on, she gracefully pivoted, turning away, and came to a halt, barely making a spray. She pulled off her goggles and spoke. "Well, hello. Every year, at the end of our holiday show, the six of us each make 1 point of a star. 6 points, because that is how many we are. We did this last year and the year before, too, and now we are asking, what more can we do? The show's grand finale should make the crowd, ah. We wanted to know, could you be the ta-da?" Susan blinked twice, not quite sure what she'd heard. Was she being asked to join in? How absurd. She went through a virtual map of reactions, some what-ifs, objections, and dissatisfactions. She wandered through sarcasm, skipped right past grief, and found herself somewhere surprising. Relief. Relief led to gratitude. That led to breathing. Right out the window went decades of seething. She rocketed up as she had long ago and said, "I'd be honored to be in your show." "I can stay underwater for quite a long while," she said to the swan with a widening smile. "I rise from the bottom with oodles of force." The swan said, "We'll put those to good use, of course." So Susan P. Schmidt, no sourpuss she, joined in with the swans from Schenectady. On went the swimming suits, in came the crowd. As predicted, the viewers were properly wowed. As the moment approached for the six-pointed star, Susan Schmidt, without fanfare, swam in from afar. The water embraced her. The sound hugged her ears. She felt calm. She felt agile in spite of her years. As the music crescendoed, the audience rapped, the star came together, and some people clapped. Then Susan P. Schmidt shot straight up from down under and arced in a dazzle of light, splash, and wonder. And my, oh my, then did the audience rise, flushed with excitement, delight, and surprise. "This isn't like anything we've seen before. They usually have six swans, but now there's one more." As Susan plunged back underwater, she knew. She saw what the crowd felt, and she felt it too. It's truer today than it ever has been. To cure a curmudgeon, ask her to join in.
Seven Swans of Swimming was written by Alina Phelan-Ballou and Phil Ward, and performed by Phil Ward.
Thanks for listening. Please stop by our website, lifelabnotes.com, and read about the very cool writers, actors, and musicians who joined in on this project. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Life Lab Notes. And spread the word. Wait, more importantly... spread some joy.